that's the reason I'm taking this place this morning. I wasn't scheduled to have this part until August 11th. But anyway, I stand before you this morning want to speak what I feel is before me. Thoughts this morning are going to be concerning the Christian's hope. And I had a song that was going through my mind as I thought of this and prepared for this. It's a song that does not appear in either of our two song books this morning in Iraq, but I found it to be in the Christian hymnal. 140, cling to the Bible. And I was thinking, well, maybe we could all sing this psalm together by memory, but I guess I passed on that, and I only refer to a few thoughts from this song that I have open to. It's called Cling to the Bible. I'll read the verses. There's three verses. Cling to the Bible, though all else be taken. Lose not its promises, precious and sure. Souls that are sleeping, its echoes awaken. Drink from the fountain, so peaceful, so pure. Cling to the Bible, this jewel, this treasure, brings to us honor and saves fallen man. Pearl whose great value no mortal can measure, seek and secure it, O soul, while you can. Lamp for the feet that in byways have wandered, guide for the youth that would otherwise fall. Hope for the sinner whose best days are squandered, staff and for the aged and best book of all. Cling to the Bible, cling to the Bible, cling to the Bible, our lamp and guide. So this morning, what drew me to a phrase that drew me to this song is where it refers to hope for the sinner whose best days are squandered. And that I think of a sinner whose days were squandered beyond measure almost, and that was a thief on the cross, and there was yet hope for him, and he found it. So let's never give up on anyone, because as long as there is life, there is hope. So this morning, if I have a title, I would call it The Christian's Hope. The Christian's Hope. It is different from the world's hope. I want to make that statement. And the Christian's hope is built on what? Remember, I recall what the songwriter says, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. And that's what I think is very true. I agree with that 100%. The world has hope. They hope in many things too. But it's not in Jesus' blood and righteousness. And so we know it will not avail them, benefit them, but it will all come to be all disappointment in the end. The way I would seek to hold out the definition that I'm trying to bring out is also and present this morning to you is reliance on God's blessing and provision. That is The Christian, to me, that's a Christian's hope. They look to God for blessing. They look to God for provision. And they look to God for future good. They expect God will bless them with future good. And so as I looked at, I want to present this morning verses that the Word has that speak of hope. And we're referring to various scriptures. Check what time it is so I know when I should conclude. And the first scripture I would ask you to turn to is found in Acts chapter 27. Begin reading at verse 20 and on to the end of verse 44. This hope here is natural hope for natural expectation. And here in this chapter of 27, Paul's sailing for Rome, and he encounters, and the ship encounters storm at sea. And this is what we read in verse 20. And we neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us. All hope that we should be saved was taken away. But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, Sirs, ye should have hearkened unto me and not have loosed from Crete and have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you but the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. Believe God even as it was told me. Howbeit we must cast upon a certain island. And when the 14th night was come, as we were driven up and down in the Adrian, about midnight the shipmen deemed that they drew near to some country, and sounded and found it 20 fathoms. And when they had gone a little further, they sounded again and found it 15 fathoms. Then fearing lest we should have fallen upon rocks, we cast four anchors out of the stern and wished for the day. And as the shipmen were about to flee out of the ship, when they had let down the boat into the sea under color as though they would have cast anchors out of the foreship, Paul said to the centurion soldiers, except these abide in the ship, ye cannot be saved. Then the soldiers cut off the ropes of the boat and let it fall off. But while the day was coming, Paul besought them all to take meat, saying, This day is the 14th day that ye have tarried and continued fasting, having taken nothing. Wherefore I pray you take some meat, for this is for your health. For there shall not a hair fall off your head of any of you. And when he had spoken this, he took bread and gave thanks to God in presence of them all. And when he had broken it, he began to eat. Then were they all of good cheer, and they also took some meat. And when we were all in the ship, 216 souls, and when they had eaten enough, they lightened the ship and cast out the wheat into the sea. And when it was day, they knew not the land, but they discovered a certain creek with a shore into which were minded if it were possible to thrust the ship in the ship. And when they had taken up the anchors, they committed themselves unto the sea, tossed and loosed the rudder bands and hoisted up the mainsail to the wind to make toward shore. And falling into a place where two seas met, they ran the ship aground, and the forepart part stuck fast and remained unmovable, but the hinder part was broken with the violence of the waves. And the soldiers' counsel was to kill the prisoners, lest any of them should be swim out and escape. But the centurion, willing to save Paul, kept them from their purpose and commanded that they which could swim should cast themselves first into the sea and get to the land. And the rest, some on boards and some on broken pieces of ship. And so it came to pass that they all escaped to land. So here, Paul got word from the Lord. He believed it, and that's where he based his hope on. And his counsel to those that were with him proved correct. And we just read the outcome. So the next scripture we want you to turn to is Romans chapter 4, verse 18. And this is talking about Abraham here, who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body dead when he was 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promises of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able to perform. And therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now it was not written for his sake alone, but that it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe in him that raised up Jesus, our Lord, from the dead. So here we have something that was considered to be almost nigh unto impossible happening. And it says that even against hope, there was hope in Abraham's life. And he was rewarded for that. He had faith in the one who had promised that he would be able to perform it. Now, also we go beyond this, and we have different scriptures that describe faith. The one is that scripture that faith is described as a living faith, and for that scripture, we turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. First Peter chapter 1, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through the faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. So here it's described, hope is described as a living hope, and we are called to live in hope of eternal life. And our hope is not only for the future eternal life, but begins when we believe in God and join His family. Then our eternal life actually starts then. No matter what pain or trial we face in this life, we know it is not for our final experience. One day we shall live with Christ forever. I have quite a few scriptures to turn to, so we'll quickly move on. The other thing of hope is described in Titus chapter 2, verse 11 through 14. Be our next reference read. Titus 2:11 through 14. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Power to live the Christian life, where does it come from? Of course, it comes from Jesus. He gives us power and understanding to live according to God's will and to do His will, to do good. And so in that respect, our hope is blessed, and it is a blessing to all who surrender their lives to Jesus and live according to His word. 2 Thessalonians 2:16. Thessalonians 2, verse 16 and 17. Now our Lord Jesus Christ Himself, and God, even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. First Corinthians chapter 13, verse 11 through 13, tells us that hope is one of the great virtues of the Christian experience. I don't think I'm going to turn to that right now, but we'll just move on. Also, we know from reading the scriptures, we find that hope produces purity. It's meant to produce purity. 1 John chapter 3, verse 2. I want to read that. You may turn to it if you wish. If you choose not to, that's fine. First John chapter 3, verse 2 and 3. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Every man that has hope in him purifies himself even as he is pure, it tells us there. Next scripture we'll be looking at would be Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 21. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the resurrection of the body. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope, for what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that which we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Another thing that hope produces is joy, and that reference is, that I want to refer to is in Romans chapter 12. Verse 12, it reads simply as, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. The next scripture I want to read from is found in Hebrews chapter 6, verses 18 and 19. That by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. Because God is truth, we can be secure on his promises. You don't need to wonder what he will change his plans. When you ask God with openness, honesty, and sincerity to save you from your sins, he will do it. This assurance should give you courage and hope. Also, hope produces stability, and that is a verse I want to read. It's found in Colossians. Colossians 1, I'll read three verses there, verse 21, 22, and 23. And you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present your holy and present you holy and unblameable and improvable on provable in his sight. If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard and which ye have preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. If you continue in faith, grounded and settled, be not moved away from the hope of the gospel. So what are the grounds for your, or what are some of the grounds for our hope? We know that God's word is a ground for our hope. And I want to refer to a scripture again, from Romans, Romans 15, chapter 15, verse 4, and whatsoever things were written sometimes for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. Going back to the Old Testament in the book of Psalm. Psalm 39, verse 4. Lord, make me to know mine end, the measure of my days, what it is, that I may know how frail I am. Behold, thou hast made my days as a handbreadth, and my age is as nothing before thee. Verily, every man at his best state is altogether vanity, Selah. Surely every man walketh in a vain show. Surely they are disquieted in vain. He heapeth up riches and knoweth not who shall gather them. And now, Lord, what wait I for? My hope is in thee. My hope is in thee. Romans 5, 1. Reads, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into his grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing the tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. Hope. First Corinthians chapter 15, next series of verses. Verse 17 and beyond. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, and ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are all men most miserable, but now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. Titus chapter 1, verse 2. Verse 1 reads, Paul, a servant of God and apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the truth, to the faith of God's elect, and the acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. In hope of eternal life, which God promised before the world began. But hath in due times manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior. To Titus, my own son, after this, come in faith, grace, mercy, peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ our Savior. And as we move on here, I came upon this verse, which we find in Romans again, the book of Romans. Romans chapter 15. Verse 13. Romans chapter 15, verse 13. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. And as we draw near to the conclusion here this morning, I wanted to leave that verse with you. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. Do you have peace in what you're believing? I pray that you do. And that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost helps us to have hope and to believe and to walk acceptably and uprightly. And then another scripture that stood out to me and I want to share with you is found in Hebrews chapter 3. Mm-hmm. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 6. But Christ as a son over his own house, whose house we are, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. Do you have confidence this morning? Trust you do, and that you're rejoicing in the hope of eternal life and the hope of God's dwelling with you until that time comes. Hope and deliverance sometimes come with surprise. Stories told, had told me of a Methodist preacher. He was traveling to the place of his appointment, and he was given runners to accompany him because he didn't know where he was going, and they knew where he was to go, and so they were his bodyguards, his chaperones. They were traveling with him, and all of a sudden, things were going well. All of a sudden, some thieves came upon them and overpowered them, and the runners, the men who knew where they were and where they were going to go, they just up and took off, left him all by himself. Yeah, the preacher, the missionary, all by himself. So what would he? What would you do? What should he have done? He just decided, Lord, I'm yours. My hope is in you. My future is in you, in your hands. So he prayed. And if nothing, he didn't know where to go to escape. He wasn't lost without his runners. So he just prayed. And the thief, in this instance, was one man. Tied him to a tree, and he took his wristwatch, and he took his suitcase, with various items, and as the man was tied to the tree with his wristwatch and just watching what was going to happen next, I don't know if he feared his life, but he feared he would lose his possessions. The thief took this item, one item after another, out of the suitcase until he came to the bottom of the suitcase. He found a certificate that proved that this man was an ordained Methodist preacher. So the thief looked at it and he said, oh, are you really an ordained Methodist preacher? And the preacher said, yes. And after that, he heard that. After he saw the framed certificate of his ordination at the bottom of the suitcase, he started put everything back in the suitcase. And he untied him. He gave his wristwatch back, and he untied him, and he said, may surprise you, but I need to tell you. The reason I'm doing this, because I also am a Methodist. I was a Methodist at one time myself. I'm even one yet at this very moment. I just happened to be one who had lost all hope. And I grew careless in my spiritual life. And now this brings conviction to me. So I send you on with my blessing. I will not take anything that is yours. Now, of course, I don't know what happened next, but I assume next that the ones that were runners with him, they were not that far away. They were probably watching to see what would happen. And they came back, and I'm sure everything worked out. I'm wanting to believe that everything worked out according to his plan and that he got on to his destination. But isn't that true, that without hope, we can be filled with despair as this thief was, and we can lose our hope and become careless in our spiritual life. Who knows where that would take us? And so, I already referred to that song, "My Hope is Built in Nothing Less Than Jesus' Blood and Righteousness." And then there's another song that I think of in relation to hope. "On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand." And the Song of Zion's Praises has these words in it. "If I walk in the pathway of duty, if I work till the close of the day, I shall see the great King in his beauty when I'm gone the last mile of the way. I will rest at the close of the day. I know there are joys that awake me when I'm gone the last mile of the way." The other song I was inclined to refer to still that came to my mind and lingered. It's 226 in the Christian hymnal as well. "Oh, to have no Christ, no Savior, no rock, no refuge nigh. When the dark days round me thee gather, when the storms sweep o'er the sky. Oh, to have no hope in Jesus, my no friend, no light in Jesus. Oh, to have no hope in Jesus, how dark this world must be. Oh, to have no Christ, no Savior, how lonely life must be. Like a sailor lost and driven on a wide and shoreless sea. Oh, to have no Christ, no Savior, no hand to clasp mine own. Though through dark veil of shadows, thou must press the way alone." So we're bidden to turn to Christ and live and to have hope and to have a relationship that goes beyond anything else we can imagine in this life. I'm here to tell you this morning don't put your hopes for future well-being in things of this world. My burden, is do not put hope in things of this world. Why? Because they will someday be gone. And they will be burned up. And they will certainly be left behind. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10 to 13. I base that thought on these verses. If I can quickly find them. Second Peter, I'm in First Peter. Second Peter 3, verse 10 through 13, I will hope to read now. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are within shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in holy conversation and godliness, looking for the hastening unto the coming day of God, that the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nonetheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. And I don't know that verse, those verses I just read, about the heavens being on fire and the heavens being dissolved and the elements melting with fervent heat. I don't know exactly when that will be, but I don't think it's near yet, but I think someday it will happen, because I believe in a rapture. I believe in the church being taken out, and then I believe in a tribulation after that. And then at some point in time, God will end things, and the church will be in heaven. And how all that is to be, I can't really be here to declare accurately. But I believe that someday all riches and man's accumulated value system and possessions will be destroyed. Christians will not need them any longer, but they will pass away. We hit time here to close, but I just want to refer to one scripture yet. Revelation chapter 5. Verse 5 talks here about the scroll. And I saw on the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? No man on earth, nor in heaven, or no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither look therein. And I wept much because no man was found worthy to open and read the book, neither to look therein. And one of the elders said unto me, Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose his seven seals thereof. What does the Lion of the Tribe of Judah speak of? It speaks of overpowering strength. It speaks of Christ as the conquering King. He shall be King of kings and Lord of lords in the eye of all the people. God hath prevailed in the wilderness after fasting 40 days and nights. He overcame Satan then, and he prevailed in Gethsemane, and he prevailed when he arose from the dead, and he prevailed when he ascended on high and sat down at the right hand of God. And he's not going to be overpowered or overcome again. And he's going to remain that victor until time is no more. So this morning, I just thank you for bearing with me. And I can sense that I can't see as well and think as fast as I used to. But I hope that I can be a contribution and a blessing to you. May God add his blessing, and may you be encouraged to hold out with hope until the end.